And now, as Pope Benedict encouraged us to do in his Lenten message this year, we continue our series of reflections on the five Sunday Gospel readings over Lent. For the fourth Sunday, on April 3rd, we hear the story of the blind man, taken from the Gospel of St. John.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And then there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord." And he worshipped him.
In his Lenten message for 2011, Pope Benedict focused on the purifying power of baptism and the need for conversion and repentance in preparation for Easter. Speaking of the Gospel reading in which Jesus heals a beggar of his blindness, Pope Benedict described it as a sign that Christ wants not only to give us sight, but also open our interior vision so that our faith may become ever deeper and we may recognize him as our only Savior. I asked Monsignor Anthony Figueredo, an official at the Pontifical Council Cor Unum that issues the Pope's message for Lent each year, if sometimes we are like the blind man in this story, so caught up in our everyday problems and activities that we become oblivious to God.
The Holy Father speaks of baptism as this participation in Christ's death and resurrection. And he talks about baptism as a washing which brings about communion with God. And the reason for this washing, Tracy, is what St. Paul says, that I may come to know him, the power of his resurrection. So this is the point of this story, through our blindness, that we may come to know Christ. Yes, we are blind, all of us are blind, in the sense that we do not see the love of God in the events that surround us. For example, the Japan tragedy, or the great difficulties in North Africa, now in Libya. But we also have personal problems, personal difficulties, where we are not enlightened. What is the meaning of these events? If God is good, why does he send these events? And so this washing that we are called to bring about helps us to see what we are about. Yes, we are the blind man, like this blind man simply sitting on the side of the road. What strikes me about him, this particular blind man, because there are many blind men in the Gospels. We have in Mark the blind man of Bethsaida, in Luke, Bartimaeus, now we have this man who goes and washes in the pool of Siloam. What strikes me about this particular blind man is that he's just sitting at the side of the road. He's not like Bartimaeus, who shouts out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me." This blind man is simply sitting there, and it seems as if he has normalized his condition. He's simply content to be there. And I think that may be the situation for many of us. We've grown so used to our blindness, our suffering, our difficulty, that we do not expect anything from Jesus. And so this Lent comes to wake us up. You know, St. Paul, what does he say? "Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, your death, and Christ will give you light."
You touched on it here when you mentioned some of the disasters, the wars that continue to hit humanity. Sometimes it is thought that illness, natural disasters, accidents are brought on by our sin or by someone's sin. In fact, at the beginning of this gospel story, it begins with a question, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Does God punish us in this way by sending us these terrible afflictions?
Sin certainly has its consequences. There is no doubt about that. And certainly many sicknesses and illnesses may have their roots in sin. God never created sickness. It came through original sin, we can say. However, the point is that God transforms the sickness, the suffering, into something which becomes positive for us. In fact, when the disciples ask him that question, who sinned, this man or his parents, Jesus turns it around and says, neither of them sin. It's because it's in order that the works of God may be made visible through him. Because at the time of Jesus, Tracy, blindness was a terrible scourge. It was, we might say, a repulsive leprosy. People were afraid to touch the blind. It was often brought about by an infection or a disease, and it caused a swelling of the eyes, often with runny eyes. So people who were blind were really discarded, rejected by the society. And so imagine what they felt like. They were the very last ones. And so often, we too can sense the same when we encounter some tragedy, some difficulty, some suffering in our own lives. Always there is that question mark. If God is love, if God is good, if God cares about me, why does he allow the suffering, particularly when we find ourselves innocent? This raises the whole question of the mystery of the suffering of the innocent and the mystery of evil. And what we announce with force, with great strength, that what we will hear on the night of Easter in the Exultet, O happy fault, which deserved so great a Saviour, felix culpa. Yes, suffering exists. Yes, very often it's brought about by sin. However, God redeems it and brings good from the tragedy.
In one version of this gospel reading, Jesus says, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. What did he mean by that?
Interesting, because this blind man, you know, he was simply sitting at the side of the road, and along comes Jesus and takes some of that soil, and he mixes it with his own spittle, his own saliva, and he throws it into that man's eyes. And imagine, that was pretty painful. And, you know, he was blind, he was not expecting it. And Jesus says, go and wash now in the pool of Siloam. I think that blind man must have thought, well, what do you think I'm going to do? Obviously, I'm going to go and wash in that pool of Siloam. You just throw mud into my eyes. And he goes, he obeys, and he sees. Sees this one who is the least one of society, the discarded one, the rejected one, the one who is no one wants to touch or approach, begins to see, and this changes his life. It really amazes me that the first person he sees when he opens his eyes, it's Jesus. He sees Jesus. And this is what Jesus is saying, because the Pharisees, the scribes, they thought they could see. They thought they knew everything. But the point is, they were blind to their own reality, because often their self-righteousness, their own thinking they had it all right, in fact caused them to judge others, caused them to reject others, like this blind man. Those who are suffering, those who are least, often we miss the whole point of Jesus, which is to love God and to love our neighbor. And this is what Jesus is saying here. The least ones, those who count for nothing, those who are rejected, they are the first in the kingdom of God, because they accept the good news. They touch their suffering. They know their suffering so much that through this suffering, when Jesus acts in their lives, they have an encounter with him that changes their existence. That was the hard-heartedness of the Pharisees and the scribes. They thought they had it all ready, and they were all they had it made in life, that Jesus wasn't able to enter the hardness of their hearts. And so the very ones who thought they could see, in fact, remained blind.
Children of the Light. In his Lenten message, Pope Benedict calls up this beautiful image of what it means to be God's children. How so?
Pope Benedict talks about Christ coming not only to heal our physical ailments, but also to give us that interior vision, so that we become children of the light, which means we are enlightened ourselves about our own history, in order that we can then announce this light to others. What does this mean? You know, in the early church, baptism involved a kenosis. It meant literally going down steps into the waters of baptism. Interestingly enough, in the year 2005, this pool of Siloam was actually discovered as an historical place, and it had steps going down. This was very much the form of baptism in the early church. It meant going down steps into the waters of baptism. What did these steps signify? We could say the seven capital sins: greed, lust, envy, hatred, etc. And there we sunk the old man. We drowned this old man who lives only for himself with these sins, which make us truly unhappy. And with the power of grace, with the power of Christ, who has sanctified these waters of baptism, we arise a new person. And the steps going up out of these baptismal waters, what do they signify? We might say the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, gentleness. Deep down, do we not all desire to live by these gifts? These gifts, this grace, makes us children of light. But we need to desire this. I always remember what Mother Teresa responded when I asked Mother Teresa of Calcutta, "Mother, how is it possible to be holy, we might say, a child of the light?" And she responded with words that have never left me: "If you have the desire, God will do the rest."
And a very warm thanks there to Monsignor Anthony Figueredo, an official at the Pope's Charity Office, the Pontifical Council Cor Unum.